like to welcome our third speaker, who is Damien Smith, who is a tutor in critical and theoretical studies in the School of Art.
Can you hear me?
Yes!
Good, okay. Well, I'll pump up the volume. The person who I would like to hear this is our Vice-Chancellor, Duncan Maskell. So, Duncan, this goes out to you. And excuse me from reading from my notes, but so earlier this year, I attended my mother's funeral, and I was one of the speakers there. Now, not long after that, after we slid the coffin into the hearse, I jumped in my car and I drove to the University of Melbourne to give a two-hour tutorial in critical theory. What can I say? The proper funerary rites, the dignity befitting an elder of our community could not be observed. And this is because I am not entitled, we are not entitled to compassionate leave.
Shame!
We are not entitled to sick leave.
Shame!
And we are not entitled to any kind of leave because we are casuals at the University of Melbourne.
Shame!
However, I did share the bare facts of my situation with my students. And I did so because I wanted them to know the brutal reality of what lies before them. A degraded professionalism, a reduced educational ethos that they are already experiencing, and a less expansive condition of life against which we all of us must fight. So how, Duncan Maskell, how would you feel if this was done to you? What would you think if you could not spend the proper time to mourn your loved ones? And what would you do if you worked for an institution that thought that this is okay?
He doesn't do any work.
He doesn't. So we, all of us, are underpaid. We, all of us, are overworked. And we are all victims of wage theft. And each and every one of us are tired. Now, luckily for me, I have another job that is far more secure and more highly paid than my academic position. I also work as an industrial cleaner, where I get paid considerably more for scrubbing toilets than I do with my PhD teaching the brightest minds of tomorrow. I can't say I mind my multifaceted career, which includes being a published author, a best-selling author. But an academic with a dunny brush is a sure sign that something stinks here. Now, Duncan, I see that your father was also a plumber. Somewhat like me, you might say. But he was proud of where education took you, as well he might be. But under your watch, the value proposition for academics at the University of Melbourne has now been brought to breaking. And yet you say our core values is that there must be a genuine and deep culture of respect for everyone at our university. Nice words, but it's time now to put that into action. Duncan Maskell, it's time also that you show leadership and deliver a secure future, not only to the academics working here, but also to the artists, the musicians, the writers, the filmmakers, the dancers and creatives who feed and vitalise our community of learning. You are on record as a lover of the arts, and as someone who has a great fondness for music. So why not make this part of your legacy? In good faith, recognise our value to both the university and to the wider community, and let's get this done.
Up next, we'll have John Gabriel from Musicology running us through the song that many of you are holding sheets for. Where's John? John's right behind me. Thank you. All right, I've made 100 copies of this song and tried to spread them out around the group, so please try and get where you can see one, or if you have like two of them right next to each other, maybe let them distribute a bit. Like Morgan just said, I'm from the Musicology area. On Thursday morning here at the campus, I'll be running a teach-in and sing-along on music and organized labor. So this is a little preview of what we'll be doing on Thursday morning if you're a South Bank-based person or if you want to come back to South Bank. This song comes from the Songbook of the International Workers of the World, the Wobblies. I've made a couple very small changes to try and get the make it a little more relevant to us and not its original use. It's what we in Musicology call a contrafacta, so it's new words from an existing melody. You may recognize this as the melody to Polly Wolly Doodle All the Day. I am not a singer, I'm a musicologist, but I'll try and get us going with the melody since our saxophone choir is not able to be here quite yet. So it goes something like, to win our strike and all our demands, come picket on the picket line. In one strong fight, we'll join our hands. Come picket on the picket line. On the line, on the line, on the picket, picket line. The dirty little scouts will treat them like a rat. Come and pick it on the picket line. And let's keep going. I've got a bunch of verses here. Our fight is not for us alone, but for people everywhere. And our demands are not unjust, but sensible and fair. On the line, on the line, on the picket, picket line. The dirty little scabs will treat them like a rat. Come and pick it on the picket line. If you want your job and better schools, come and pick it on the picket line. For you show dumb in the people rule. You pick it on the picket line. On the line, on the line, on the picket, picket line. The dirty little scabs will treat them like a rat. Come and pick it on the picket line. We'll sing and praise an awful ding. Come and pick it on the picket line. We'll stay until the bus gives in. Come and pick it on the picket line. On the line, on the line, on the picket, picket line. The dirty little scabs will treat them like a rat. Come and pick it on the picket line. For secure work and for higher pay, come and pick it on the picket line. We won't let the boss get in our way. Come and pick it on the picket line. On the line, on the line, on the picket, picket line. The dirty little scabs will treat them like a rat. Come and pick it on the picket line. Now the boss can say that he is broke. Come and pick it on the picket line. We know his story's just a joke. Come and pick it on the picket line. On the line, on the line, on the picket, picket line. The dirty little scabs will treat him like a rat. Come and pick it on. good. All right, we've got one more speech. Our final speaker, Amira Chung, who is an honours student in the School of Art.
Okay, cool. Today, standing here today as an honours student, it's ironic that I am more invested in my tutor's presence at this rally and their consequent absence in the classroom than vice versa. As we have come to learn with the monetization and mass production models of degrees, the work is not the grade or the paper. It has to be in the actual tangible experiences and connections here. If you're standing here today, it means that you believe in reform. And to some extent, you believe in the rich humans running this place. I hope we win, because I'm leaning towards revolt over reform.
Yeah.
Including the computer labs, anyways. We have a lot to lose, but less and less as the years go by, thanks to inflation. As the UniMelt advert prompts, discover what you're made of. Apparently, all we're made of is poverty and anger. I'm sure my feelings are shared. I'm quite angry at this institution whose branding colours are unironically shared with the police force. I feel anger at this institution that would use false promises to glorify its own commodification of dignity and our right to an education, as if operating dishonestly on public money as a private, rent-seeking, leech-like business was not bad enough.
Hey.
To the uni and its tokenistic shallow marketing, human life is invaluable. And we know the uni knows this because of all the fucking research that goes into it. So it certainly isn't to be priced at $25,000 a year for our casuals. Not in this recession and the housing crisis. Not in the years left before we might all die from climate change. Not even in the years when Daddy Whitlam gave us education for free. And especially not when the Uni Melbourne owned financial reports say they apparently allocate $1.5 million to staffing expenses. If we had to price human life, it might be something closer to that $1.5 million that the salary our Vice Chancellor Duncan has. I want to communicate 2 points to you today. One is about the cruelty of enforcing poverty mindsets onto tertiary education staff and the irony of this taking place in a tertiary institution. And the second is about how our empathy workers, our uni workers, are responsible for any semblance of equity we have here. And so their need for a work-life balance, real pay rises, for consistency and genuine frameworks of support, like bereavement leave, like carers leave, is more important than anything else. Poverty mindsets and poverty fatigue are exacerbated by instability. In this case, that instability is coordinated by the institution and results in short-term contracts and uncertain workloads for our staff.
Shame.
Shame. The power play of enforcing instability is that it keeps the worker waiting on their feet, keeps their schedules on freeze, induces anxiety, which in the long term is really fatiguing. It makes it so much easier to exploit them with periods of unfair hours and makes it harder for them to jump jobs in financial safety. It forces them to tick the terms and conditions of their employment no matter what those conditions say.
Shame.
Shame!
Shame.
I think it's also important to note that poverty mindsets are contagious. It's not just hard to experience, it's very hard to watch. Because you know that someone's life is worth more than their money. But they can't do anything about it until they have the money to live in dignity.
Yeah, yeah.
As a lower socioeconomic status person who has always been on welfare as they studied, worked, and paid rent, it is really disheartening to see that a tertiary education may very well keep me in poverty and cement my fatigue.
Yay!
Even worse though, the random or very limited distribution of our UniMelb casuals hours means that even though they earn what I earn in a year, which is jack all, half the time, they don't qualify for welfare that is based on fortnightly income. Maybe worst of all is that their yearly incomes would qualify them for welfare payment, or the fact that a welfare payment is comparable to an employed graduate of tertiary education working in their field of study. Would you rather get your government money trickled to you by the university or on JobSeeker? Is that the choice now? If the university wants to market that our degrees are worth something, that they do something for our quality of life, even just our dopamine levels, then what a missed opportunity to demonstrate that through the treatment of their tertiary educated staff. Especially those that work face-to-face with students, that plan and cater for our students, that are the front line of equity for our students, whose expertise and experiences make a head's debt's worth. Uni workers are perhaps in an opportunistically unique position, that is in comparison to nurses, childcarers, disability support workers and other empathy workers whose clients may literally die if they went on strike, or whose striking would likely impact people beyond their direct clientele. So I thank you for the risk and the sacrifices, because you're perhaps the only people in the position to make this risk, which is not to say at all that it is easy. What puts Uni Melbourne, especially BCA workers, in line with empathy workers is that their absence and their roles are not just logistical and practical, and not just pertaining to their academic expertise. The beautiful thing, the terrifying thing, and the necessarily transforming thing about art is that it often deals with trauma. In the way a nurse isn't just required to take care of a patient's body, they are also required to watch the tears, listen to their suffering, and overhear the conversation, and administer the medication in its life-prolonging pain. Our casual tutors at the BCA don't earn even half the six-digit wage of a train driver who gets paid so much not for the ifs but the when a traumatic encounter may occur. Then what should that entitle the BCA worker to, or any uni worker who has to watch students be triggered and cry in real time year after year, who have to accommodate for the diversity of stories and materiality, art about assault, about intergenerational trauma, about death, about the trauma of institutionalization itself, and our teachers who may also be healing from these things themselves. Empathy is special, but it also especially demands self-care. When I think of empathy in the university as a student, I do not think of all the high executive functioning automated pathways into extensions for a deadline, or the promises of equity in any of UniMel marketing. I think of the genuine life advice I've gotten from my teachers about being in poverty as an artist. I think of teachers sacrificing their personal boundaries, giving their phone numbers out so they can help see you through a degree. I think of all the times my tutors are not contractually obligated to debrief on subject matter, but they do this because they care genuinely about the success and welfare of their students. I think of the non-uni facilitated opportunities I have been given by them. Empathy workers are the equity in this world. Teachers' working conditions are student working conditions. Thank you.
Union! You say power! Union!
Power!
Union!
Power!
When I say union, you say power! Power!